to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Physics phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Shlishi, the fourth day of the month of Adar. As always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email to sponsor future programs, and we greatly appreciate your support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Alan Schwartz of Congregation of Tzedek in Manhattan, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Schwartz slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf, Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed, as always, by the Mishaberach, Becholim, and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Schwartz to learn more about his wonderful community on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Schwartz.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Herman. I would like to begin with some Divrei Chizuk about saying Tehillim in general. Even when we don't have the words, we always find them very well embedded within the chapters of Tehillim. The three Tehillim that we'll be saying demonstrate a profound faith that no matter what faces us, no matter where we walk, no matter what is the shadow, no matter what is in front of us and what we confront, we know that God is with us and that we have nothing to fear as a result. And although one of the psukim, one of the verses will say is Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael, God neither sleeps nor slumbers. The fact is that there are times where there are some other verses in Tehillim where we have perhaps a different sentiment, because Tehillim runs through many stages just as we run through many stages. I'd like to suggest that there are five different stages of all of Sefer Tehillim that can conveniently be connected to five different stages in King David's life. The early part of his life, where he seems to be rejected by his brothers, it's a very difficult time, but a time of great faith. He describes his confrontation with a lion and a bear, and he knew that he was primed for something great when he was able to kill both of them and save his flocks. That's how he convinced Shaul that he was able to kill Goliath. Then he reaches great fame when he does that, and that introduces his second stage of his life, until the king, Shaul, becomes very jealous of him. He's now the best friend of the king's son. He's married to the king's daughter, but the king wants to kill him. So the second stage is filled with great, what we call tzara v'tzuka, great pain and affliction. But he has incredible faith because God has already promised him he's going to be the next king. So that leads to the third stage that ends when Shaul dies and David actually becomes king. Then there's great tranquility. David builds up a land and a nation, and the chapters like 37 and the Hallelujahs, the chapters of describing beautiful nature, that fits the fourth stage until a very unfortunate event with Bathsheba, where David has his doubts again until he is informed that God has accepted his repentance. So these five stages reveal different times of our own lives where David could say, like I said before, in one pasuk, in one verse, God neither sleeps nor slumbers, he's the guardian of Israel. But there's another verse where David says, Ura Hashem lamatishan, wake up God, why are you sleeping? It's not two different books, they're these two verses in the same book, because we have different stages of our lives and different phases. And David knows that ki avivi imi azavuni v'Hashem yasfeni, even if my own parents would for some strange reason reject me, but I still know that God will bring me in. So we know that is what characterizes these three chapters. These have been difficult times, but the OU has stepped up and made these chapters available to so many hundreds of people, and we thank all of you for coming on board to recite these three chapters with us. And Again, I'd like to thank the Schwartz family for dedicating these chapters and these words of Torah. The first chapter is 23, which I'll recite now. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai ro'i lo echsar. Bina'os deshe yarbitzeni, almei menuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yishovev yancheni b'magle tzedek l'ma'an shemo. Gam ki eleich b'geitz ha'maves lo ira ra ki ata imadi. Shiftecha u'mishantecha hema yinachamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged tzorarai. Dishanta v'ashemen roshi kosi rivaya. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayai. V'shafti b'veis Adonai la'orech yomim. We all inevitably walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we know that when God is with us, there's nothing to fear. That takes us to chapter 121, Perkuf Chaf Aleph. And we recite Shir Lamalos. These are songs of ascents. There are 15 of them altogether and 15 steps that lead up to the Azara, the courtyard leading into the Beis HaMikdash. As we ascend each one in its own place, we'll decide 121 and then 130. Shir Lamaalos, Esayinai el Harim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai, Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael, Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilcha al yad yiminecha, yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yareach baloyla, Adonai yishmorcha mikora yishmor es nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzeisecha uvoecha mehata v'yadolam. Medrash says we put our eyes to the mountains. The word horim, meaning mountains, is very similar to horim, our parents. Success of these prakim of Tehillim is to look back, shalavicha v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yamrulach, to look back at previous generations and look what they've meant to us and transfer what they taught us to the next generation. And that will be an essence of God guarding our comings and goings wherever we go. Chapter 130. This chapter is normally reserved for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur times, where we call out to God from the depths. There's a responsa literature of all the questions asked of Ephraim Oshri during the Holocaust in the Kovna ghetto, and he called the tshuvas, Shalut tshuvas mimamakim, the responsa of from the depths, which is this chapter. Even if we're in the depths, we know we can rise out of it with the help of God, as this chapter indicates. Shir Hamalos, Mima'amakim, Kirasicha Adonai. Adonai, Shim'a Bekoli, Tiena Aznecha, Kashuvos, Lekol, Tachanunai. Imavonos, Tishmor Yah, Adonai, Mi Ya'amod. Kimacha Hasalicha, Lema'an Tivarei. Kivisi Adonai, Kivison Avshi, Velidvaro, Hocholti. Navshi, Ladonai, Mishomerim, Laboker. Shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed, v'harbei mofidus, v'hu yifte es Yisrael mikol lavonosav. Now make mishberach. May all those who have suffered in the coronavirus, may all those who need a refuah, may our words of Tehillim, our prayers and our thoughts serve for them for refuah shlema. Mishaberach avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe v'Aaron David u'Shlomo, v'imoseinu Sara Rivka Rachel v'Leia, u'yivarech rapei es ba'avur she'anachnu mispalim ba'avuram. Bizchar zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimalei rachamim aleihem lahachlimam ulerapposam ulahachazikam ulahachiyosam v'yishlach lohem meheru rufua shlema min ha'shamayim l'chol evreihem v'chol gideihem b'soch sh'or cholei Yisrael rufuas ha'nefesh rufuas ha'guf hashto ba'agala uvizman kariv. Kadosh Baruch Hu always smiles upon us when we are one and together and joined hand in hand, as we say now, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Hanesunin Batzara Uvashivya, Ha'amdim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha, Hamakom Yirachem Aleihem V'yotziyem Mitzara l'rvacha, u'me'afela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv, v'nomar, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Schwartz. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and how's the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, life goes on. You know, we married off a child during this time. We just had a grandchild in Israel. You know, things continue. It's not what we were used to. We used to make larger weddings for our other kids, and we usually attend our grandson's brises, but this one was in Israel. We didn't make a chance to get over. But you know, life is going to go on. We'll see. We'll be at this child's bar mitzvah, I'm sure, and maybe at his upsharon. So things are continuing. We have to make sure that we can maintain a safe community, a safe environment, so that people will trust returning to shul. Right? Hashem misses us. You know, this Asuli Mikdash, Hashem was supposed to wait until we got to Israel for a Mishkan. Gemara in Ksuva says that God missed us, so he commanded building a Mishkan in the desert before we got to Israel. So we hope Hashem continues to miss us, and when we come back, we're all ready because we miss Hashem and we want to get back to the shuls the way we used to in the past. And so far we're managing and we're trying to hold our own.
Well, first of all, mazel tov on the wedding, on the grandchild, and Amir Hashem, please God, the smachot should continue for you and your family and for all of our listeners and for all of Klal Yisrael. Beautiful way to articulate what incredible imagery of the Kaddish Baruch Hu missing us. I think it's a very powerful way for us to think about it. To get us started, Rabbi Schwartz, for our listeners who might not be familiar with your community, I've had the privilege to visit OZ on many occasions. Would it be possible to share with us, to give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. The shul was incorporated in 1873 by a group of Hungarian Jews. And they first set up shop in the Lower East Side. They occupied five buildings in different places in the Lower East Side within a number of years, and then they moved up to Harlem on 116th Street. And they employed perhaps one of the most famous chazanim of all time. Yossele Rosenblatt was the chazan in the shul for close to 30 years. And they had very illustrious members. Shalom Aleichem on occasion came, and Harry Houdini, and Herman Wouk, and some famous people in the turn of the century, about 1900. And Herman Wouk was a member of the shul till much later. And the shul found that it had to keep moving. It had occupied six buildings in its first 50 years and then moved to where it is now in 1926. In Kanai Nahara, we hope that it will stay here, you know, well past its first century. So we moved here while Yossele Rosenblatt was still the chazan. And they had, their first rabbi was Rabbi Hillel Klein, married to the granddaughter of Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. And he at the same time was the president of the OU, the Aguda, and was also the president of Eitz Chaim, which became Yeshiva University. So see if you can find someone who could be that president of all three of those organizations at any time. But anyway, he was being groomed to take over after RJJ, Rav Yaakov Yosef. But it never happened, and New York Jewry and the rabbinate was going through some very difficult times early on. And he was very, very much instrumental with relief for during World War One for Jews in Europe. And he was very much involved with Kashrus at the turn of the century. Again, his name was Rabbi Hillel Klein. And he was our first rabbi, served almost 40 years. And from then on, the shul has been here on the west side. And Rabbi Yaakov Hoffman, who was the Rav across the street from Rabbi Breuer in Frankfurt. And if you went to Rabbi Breuer's shul and you moved to America in the 30s, you moved to Washington Heights. And if you davened at Rabbi Hoffman's shul, you moved to the west side. So that's what happened. And then the shul has maintained itself here throughout this time. It's a very broad constituency. Some shuls have more young couples or more older couples or more young children. It's very, very broad, every age group up to 90 and even close to 100. So we hopefully fulfill our mission of being in an area where a lot of people stay and then move away. I'm at the shul for 32 years, and we've had close to 3,000 different families during that time. And people, if you ask most people, where do you want to be in 5 years? Well, hopefully they'll say Eretz Yisrael, but the West Side is an itinerant area. And Baruch Hashem, many people who have stayed here for a long time, but we hope to create good balabatim so that they can move to other communities and be responsible balabatim there.
Wow. What an incredible history and so many illustrious figures who have been part of the shul. Next question for you, Rabbi Schwartz. What motivated, what drove you to go into the rabbinate and more specifically to become a pulpit rabbi of a shul?
I remember the first time I ever gave it some thought was Parshas Truma. Oh my goodness, that's this week's Parsha. I'm just remembering the Dvar Torah. A genuine surprise for the moment. It was Parshas Truma in 1979, or by that time it was 1980, and I was asked to give a Dvar Torah at Yeshiva in Hebrew. And I remember being very nervous, and it just felt good. And I gave it in Hebrew, and I felt almost like a Navi. I felt like, hey, I can do this. So and then they asked me to do it again on Parshas Metzora, and I remember being nervous again. And then I started to have a little chabura where I was doing some teaching. So that's where it started. And I came back to America and I started giving shiurim. I was just 19 at the time. And it felt good. So I started doing substituting at MTA. And then YU asked me to teach a course. I was just 21 at the time. And it just felt good to be doing these things. So what do? You go into chinuch, you go into the rabbonus, so just felt good. And there was a time where I was asked to lane in Riverdale, where my parents lived at the time. And they asked me to lane and also to give drushes. So it's a funny thing. The name of the shul was Ahavas Tzedek on Kingsbridge Avenue in Riverdale. It was a shul inside of an apartment building. So it just felt good. So I did the natural thing and I went to YU to sign up. And there's a lot of rabbanus in my mother's family. My mother's father was a rav in the Bronx for over 60 years. And her sisters mostly married rabbanim. So it's in the family and it just felt right. So I got a shul very early on here on the west side before I came to Ohev Tzedek called Ohev Shalom. Ohev Shalom, now Ohev Tzedek. I want my next shul maybe, I don't know, Ohev Kesef maybe. It was just something that fit.
Beautiful thing.
You have to marry the right person, that's for sure. So I, Baruch Hashem, did, and that was important.
Amazing, and you certainly have touched so many people's lives throughout your career, and continue to do so, and certainly all of us on the call today. Last question for the day. There's been so much change that we've all experienced due to the pandemic. You alluded to it earlier, not being able to make a larger wedding as you've done with the other children, or not be able to be in person at the bris, and all of us that to adapt during these months and now almost a year. But when you think about your shul, when you think about your community and perhaps even the broader Jewish community, and with great hope and optimism, which is really the the foundation of this phone call. And you mentioned in your remarks also when you began with the Tehillim that we're always walking with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that there really is nothing to fear. And there is hope now, even more so with the rollout of the vaccines, and we've got everyone will be able to get there soon. But when we think a little bit without a crystal ball, but when we think about the future, you know, looking at a world that hopefully will be without COVID-19, what communal changes do you anticipate for yours and perhaps the broader Jewish community?
I think that what shuls need to do is to just say, when we get out of this, we're going to be better. We're going to learn from this. We're going to turn things around, because that's what we always have to do with adversity. Jews have always done that. So how are we going to be better? Right? I think maybe we have to shore up the amount of time we spend in shul on the Shabbos morning. We have to be a little more articulate in reaching out to people and of different constituencies. And we'll have to work harder at getting people back in. You know, if Hashem misses us, we have to make sure that people miss Hashem, especially family with children. We opened up shop in the beginning of June, and with the OU's recommendations of waiting 2 weeks after New York City opened up again. And we've had every day, 3 daily shachrises, 2 mincha marivs, and you know, never missed a minyan since then. And we have to be open for business for as much as possible while maintaining the safety. And I would just say it in a shuls have to just be very creative and make everything better. It's as simple as that. When, you know, in last week's parsha, Moshe seems to be okay with God sending an angel to walk in front of us. But in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe wants no part of it. He says, then don't take us if you're not going to be with us. What happened in between? The answer is the Egel. You know, the Egel should have made things worse between us and God. No, Moshe says we're going to make it better. Ramban says this about all the repetitions in Vayakel and Pekudei. We're going to make things better. Yes, we had a great trauma to the world and to the Jewish community and to everyone. But we're going to learn these lessons and open up communities. Maybe you'll be more open to outreach and have commissions that maybe people should have now, post-COVID commissions. Because we shouldn't just be broadsided when the doors are open again, and then we have to start wondering how we're going to get the people back in. We have to be make things better, and we will. Well, especially I think that the biggest challenge will be for kids, get kids back in, because kids can learn very quickly how to get used to a certain type of behavior. And the behavior now has been to wake up much later than they used to when they went to school every day. And they got used to sleeping in on Saturday mornings. And so we have to get back in there and you know, no one does something unless libo chafetz, unless their heart wants it. So we have to touch the hearts and reach the hearts of everybody, especially the kids.
Near Hashem, hopefully these days will be very, very soon. Rabbi Schwartz, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your amazing community. As they are with all Klal Yisrael of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabboni Sholem, the Master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi David Katanik of the Las Vegas Kollel Shul in Las Vegas, Nevada. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.